Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's hour three of the three-hour Into Tomorrow broadcast for the weekend of Friday, April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2022. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And we got some tech news and commentary to share with you. And then Greg in Georgia, among others, standing by to join us on the program. I want to remind you, as we always do, don't forget, please, to back up your important data. That includes pictures, videos, it includes business records, it includes your personal banking information. Back up your data and also have an important copy of your backup off the premises. If you're back to work in an office and you can stick a USB thumb drive in your drawer somewhere, do that with important stuff, password protected in case it gets into the wrong hands. Or at your mother-in-law's place, whatever.
I've always kept a backup of my work computer at home and a backup of my home computer at work.
You are? Yeah. Are you using work computers for that purpose?
To back up my work computer, my work data, yes.
Yeah, okay. But just do back up your data. And what's the other important tip that we like to give everyone all the time on the show?
To check your spam filters, especially if you had just called into the show.
Oh, that's true, too, because you'd be getting an email from the prize team, and somehow or other, even though we don't mention prizes in the subject line, some of those have ended up in spam filters.
Yeah,
so do check. But also because you might have wondered why you haven't heard from mom in a while, or why some friend that you were communicating with suddenly disappeared. They may be in your spam filters.
Or your long-lost relative in Africa that just needs your bank account information so they can give you your inheritance of $4 million.
Yeah. I would note that in the spam filter and keep it there. And then just after you've checked everything, delete all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Might be important. The European Union agreed last week to one of the world's most far-reaching laws to address the power of the biggest tech companies, potentially reshaping app stores, online advertising, e-commerce, messaging services, and other everyday digital tools. Negotiators from the European Parliament and the Council reached a political agreement on the Digital Markets Act, which establishes a series of prohibitions and obligations for companies including Google, Facebook's Meta, Apple, and Amazon, and a number of smaller platforms. It's likely to include accommodation platform Booking and Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba as well. The agreement targets interoperability of messaging apps like WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and iMessage, with the EU saying that vendors still have to open up and interoperate with smaller messaging platforms if they so request.
Yeah, and that's basically saying that if I want to use my iMessage to message you on WhatsApp and vice versa, that those two need to be able to talk to each other.
Yeah. Exactly. And that if your iMessage, in this case Apple, says we want to be able to work with WhatsApp or whatever the case, then they have to allow it. Now, mind you, this is European Union because they're the ones typically jump on this stuff and then make it happen. And all these other big tech companies hate the EU because of all these restrictions. But it does make them change some of their platforms, which benefit us in the U.S.
Right. Well, and I will say that the EU seems to do a much better job at protecting users' privacy than the U.S. does.
Oh, much. Exactly. And this is another good example. Because our FCC couldn't care less.
Yeah, I mean, we've run into that issue every year when we go to IFA in Berlin, because we try to reach out to exhibitors to try to invite them on the show, but we can't because of the stringent privacy laws over there. We can't just, you know, farm for email addresses.
Right.
We can't just, in the U.S.
Exactly. We can't just send a mass email out to people saying, hey, exhibitors, we'd love to have you on the show. Tell us what you're doing. But we have to do a much more homework, which is difficult, but we do it. Because we bring you the latest from IFA.
Which we can't wait to do again this year in September.
Oh, my gosh, in September, it's right. In fact, join us, because it's rare that it's one of the consumer tech shows that is open to consumers. Go figure. You can't go to CES. Well, we do, because we're media. But unless you're a buyer or seller in the industry or a member of the media, you can't go to CES. They won't open, nor will they ever open it to the public. Maybe they will, because fewer people go anymore the last few years anyway. So maybe they'll say, yeah, let the public in. We need help.
Plus, IFA's, you know, 5 or 6 days versus the CES, which was 3 days this year, 2.5 days this year.
Yeah. What a bunch of nonsense. Thank you, Gary. Moron. Yeah. Anyway, so we invite you to join us in Berlin. You haven't taken a vacation in how long, right? And you've always wanted to see Berlin, Germany. It's one of the coolest cities in the world. And we invite you to come visit us in Berlin, first week of September. Check it out. It's open to the public. You can come in. You can find our broadcast booth at IFA Next. Big area where a bunch of small companies, startups, are doing fun, unique things. And then we'll get you a nice, refreshing beverage, even an adult beverage if you're over 16 in Germany.
Yeah. Those of us who signed up for recurring 99-cent payments to Apple from our iCloud space years ago might get some of that money back soon.
Oh?
That's because Apple apparently breached its own terms of service, resulting in the company agreeing to pay out a $14.8 million class action settlement.
Oh, you got to love that.
Yeah. The specific violation was that Apple apparently stored some iCloud data on third-party servers instead of its own. Apple continues to deny any wrongdoing, but that isn't stopping it from shelling out cash to make the problem go away. You probably shouldn't expect a huge amount of money from this, though. That $14.8 million sounds like a lot, but once it's dispersed among everyone who paid for iCloud storage a few years ago, it could wind up being a check for $2.79.
Oh, gee. But hey, it's a check from Apple, and you can take it to the bank, and you can buy, let's see, a small beverage for lunch.
For $2.79, I might just take the check and keep it, never cash it, so that I can, you know, mess up their accounting.
Oh, that's an even better idea. Yeah, exactly. Put it up on the wall. It's like, look, Apple paid me.
Yeah.
$2.79. Wow. Speaking of payouts, Spotify paid out $7 billion to the music industry last year, the highest annual payment from any single retailer in history. That, according to the audio giant, Spotify's royalty payments increased by $2 billion in 2021, up from $5 billion in 2020. In 2021, Spotify paid out more than $1 million in royalties apiece to 1,040 artists for recorded music and publishing, 126% more than in 2020.
Wow.
Very interesting. Greg in Woodbine, Georgia, listens on 93.7 WBQO, when you need to know. Hey, Greg.
Just wondered if there are any AM/FM radio receivers that have a programmable timer recorder on them, like the old VCRs and the DVRs have now. Not all radio programs are podcast or have the ability to listen to them later, and I'm often missing shows, so I just wondered if there was anything available to record the programs and listen to them later.
Well, Greg, there aren't many. It's very, very rare to find one that has that function these days. Now, we haven't seen any pure AM/FM radio that can record in a long time. But there are some radios that are sometimes sold with recorders. In particular, there are two types that we've seen come bundled with recorders in recent years. Weather radios, some of them, of course, and some shortwave radios.
Yeah, shortwave enthusiasts like to pick up transmissions from the other end of the world. So it makes sense efforts for some of those receivers to come with a recorder built in so that users can record what is broadcast during the daylight hours of a country far, far away. Weather radios sometimes have them to always keep a log of the latest forecast in case of a weather emergency. Now, in both cases, most radios do not come with this feature, so check carefully. Also, check that the feature itself is not limited to just the weather bands or the shortwave radio. So, good luck, Greg. It's not really easy to find what you're looking for these days.
Yeah, but do let us know, because it'll help other listeners if you locate one, and we'll do some more digging for you if you're unable to find one. Stay tuned and visit us often and regularly at intotomorrow.com.